And I would invite you to turn with me to John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 and verse 14. The Pew Bible, it's on page 922. John 1, 1 through 5 and verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. We have beheld His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. Move to this side today so I don't trip over the microphones there. Think about a time in your life when you were expecting a visit and you were anticipating that visit greatly. Perhaps family that you had not seen in a long time. Maybe the arrival of a child. Or perhaps, as a child, Christmas. And Santa. We were having a brief discussion this morning about how fast Christmas seems to arrive these days. And one person said, well, whoever said slow is Christmas? I figured, well, that's from the perspective of a child. From the perspective of adults, it comes around all too fast, right? But as a child, you anticipated that all year long. You may not have been able to sleep because of the excitement, or you couldn't concentrate on your work because of the excitement of an anticipation of a visit of a family member, or perhaps going to visit. And when the person arrived, you were overcome with emotion. Maybe there were even tears of joy, especially if you had not seen that person in a long, long time. Over the next few weeks, we will celebrate the season of waiting, the season of Advent, as we wait with anticipation, with emotion, culminating again with Christmas Eve and our Christmas Eve communion service and then Christmas Day. Children will be filled with excitement and anticipation. Perhaps some parents are, or maybe more trepidation. And some can't wait for it all to be over. And it's not even Christmas yet. We will come for Christmas programs. We will go Christmas caroling together. And we will sit there with a smile on our faces and sometimes try to hide the yawn as we listen to the Christmas story again. But I really do wonder, how many of us are actually excited and awestruck by the true wonder of Christmas? Or like so many, maybe we just want to get through to the next day. There have been times when I resembled that remark, just wanting to get through it and keep moving. But I want us to think for a few moments together, to reflect this morning on just what it really means that He came and that He comes still. The author of the Gospel of John begins his writing with words that we often hear quoted, but regularly we pass over quickly as they are said. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. these opening words, though, are extremely important for us as we reflect upon life, as we reflect upon God, as we reflect upon grace. They emphasize Jesus' participation actively in the creation of the world as part of the Godhead. This was important for the writer of the Gospel of John, especially as he addressed Gnostics, and in some instances, Gnostic Christian churches in the ancient world. Gnostics for whom the physical realm was evil, but the spiritual realm was good. And especially those who believed that Jesus was truly God, but was spirit only. Not unlike many groups today, who either see Jesus as simply a spirit, or on the other end of the spectrum, simply as an inspired human. Knowledge, then, was superior to faith when it came to Gnostics, and when it came to those who claimed to be Gnostic Christians. Stoic philosophers believed that the divine logos, the word, was the principle, or the God that gave order to the world, and that all human reason came from that word. The Greek word logos, though, was also the equivalent of the Hebrew word in the Old Testament, debar, which means word or event. But in this particular instance, the Hebrew word debar also carries with it the idea that that event or that word is dynamic, is full of power, and that as that word is spoken or moves, things happen. They also believed that this was the way God communicated with His people. But as time went along into the first century, Jewish theology devolved so that the Logos was equated with wisdom as merely an agent in creation. So as John writes here, by the way, if that doesn't sound familiar to you, then you're not a postmodern in the 21st century. So as John uses that word here to emphasize Jesus was with God before creation came into existence, those Gnostic Christians would latch on to it. They would perk up. They would pay attention to what he was saying. He goes on to emphasize that nothing was made except through this divine word, this divine logos. And so he's got those folks, those ancient postmoderns, he's got them hooked in on his terminology. They're listening and paying attention. And so he emphasizes everything owes its existence to this divine Word of God. The connection is even stronger as he is the one in whom, John says later, there is life and light. The life was not just physical life. More importantly, and even for the Gnostic Christians, the life was spiritual life. And the light which illuminates the darkness of evil in the world is this divine word. This divine word not only reveals our sin, but the writer of the Gospel of John says this divine logos shines through the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. It shines light on God and God's purpose. It reveals God's nature, and no amount of darkness can overcome it. A further statement confirming this revelation of God and God's true nature is found in verse 9. The true light that enlightens every man was coming into the world. It's not just that true light came one time, but that true light of God that enlightens continually comes into the world. True light is different from false light. True light is light that in itself is its own source. This understanding is that the true light of the divine Logos has only one source, and that is itself, God. And while that is great news and a strong philosophical statement, it is not the primary emphasis being made by John. Not to ancient people or to our generations today. Many who have similar understandings. Well, what could be better than knowing Jesus was present in the beginning, you might ask? What could be better than knowing that Jesus helped create the world? Well, John's emphasis on what is greater comes in verse 14. And the Word, the source of light and life that created in the beginning, the Word became flesh. And lives among us, full of grace and truth. And we have beheld His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. What is greater than the fact that He was present in beginning? John says, the enfleshment. The incarnation of that divine Word is greater. He comes, John says. John begins this gospel with the incarnation of the divine Word. Not just God, nor just man, but fully human and at the same time fully God. And that news not only was, but that news today still is radical. And it's the greatest news. Think about what many other religions say about Jesus. Within Islam, Jesus is a great prophet and a wise teacher, although within some sects of Islam, Jesus will also be the judge of the world. In fact, Quran calls Him Messiah. For many Far Eastern traditions, Jesus is a holy man, a wise teacher. And in some, Jesus even is one of the gods. Within Buddhism, there are some Buddhist teachers, some Buddhist monks who see Jesus as a very wise and enlightened teacher. Many of the New Age movements that will address Jesus these days see Him as a wise moralist. Jefferson said Jesus was a great philosopher, a great wise and moral teacher, but not divine. And on and on and on we could go. But the clock moves. John shares with us, though, that Jesus was and Jesus is so much more. Bless you. The divine Logos that was and is God became human. The divine Logos took on flesh and came to earth to skenoo, to tabernacle, to make His residence with us. To make His residence with us. Now we think of Jesus coming and then going and He's going to come back. But Jesus, as that divine Logos, lives with us. He didn't cease to be God when He came. Though He limited Himself in His humanity, He was still God. Think for a moment I would submit to you that God is never more awe-inspiring than the glory of the God-man, Jesus. For John, Jesus is the climax of God's self-revelation to us. It is Jesus who comes and who reveals to us who God is and what God will do, so that we might not only be enlightened, but so that we might become transformed. Transformed and in relationship with God in a way that we cannot on our own. Folks, regardless of whatever people might say, or whatever others might think, that is exciting. That should fill us with awe. It should also fill us with questions of how we can be even in greater relationship with Him. Read an article the other day that 63% of Americans surveyed said that Christmas celebrations in America should include a visit to church. In one way, I'm surprised that 63% said that, because it should be higher. In another way, I'm surprised that it wasn't higher. And yet, on the other hand, I'm not totally surprised that only 63% said so. You know, without Christ, it just got must. And must becomes mess. Think about it. God comes Himself in Jesus. From pre-existence to a baby, to a man, to a crucified and resurrected Savior. But it doesn't just stop there. For you see, He comes still as He enters through each of our lives. He comes. And He continues to come to enlighten us, that we may allow the light to shine. Over the next few weeks, we will think even more about those hopes and joys, the peace, the love. But it is my hope that it will not be one of those where we just smile and look up at the ceiling or count to see how many light bulbs may have gone out in the chandeliers. Rather, it is my hope and my prayer that even in the darkness, that light will shine and enlighten not only us, but others as He continues to come. May we pray. Gracious God, we do thank You for coming and for continuing to be present within our lives in so many ways, even in ways that we sometimes overlook. Help us to be more cognizant during this time especially of that presence. And may we find enlightenment which will help us to shine for You in the darkness. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, our hymn of decision, is 539. My faith looks up to Thee. Our altar is open as we stand and as we sing together, number 539.